All right, how's it going, y'all? Yo, when my students say that to me, I'm like, I can't believe a Chinese person said that. They said, y'all, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is anyone taking Latin by chance? All right, so I took Latin in high school too, and I was like, when I heard, after I moved to Texas and I started hearing people say y'all, I was like, it makes sense. Like, grammatically, it makes sense, but I can't do it. Like, I tried, and it's like, it doesn't feel right. It, like, doesn't belong in your mouth for some reason. Anyways, let's see. Okay, you know what? Let's do this. Everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. I want everyone to do a big stretch, all right? Stretch with me. Stretch with me. You seem tired. All right, let's reach up to the sky. Reach up to the sky. All right, we're going to go to, let's see, your right, my left. All right, let's go the other way. All right, how about, I don't know, maybe a little tight for this. All right, arms, like, rotate and like stretch your arms with your palms up, and then like stretch to like pull your, and then pull like your shoulders back, all right? So, and then go the other way. All right, hopefully, yeah, if you can shake it out, you'll feel a little bit better. All right, you can grab a seat. So, let's see, I was in seminary. My roommate had a lot of experience with music. And so I was introduced to, do you guys know what in-ear monitors are? Yeah, right? It's the thing that like the musicians are always like yanking out of their ear. And I can't decide if it like makes him look cool or not, but anyways. So then after I met my roommate, like, he was like really into like in-ear monitors. He had like multiple. I was like, how do you afford this? It's like so expensive after looking them up. And so after that, I started like getting into like, is anyone like an audiophile? Like really into like headphones and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, with that being said, when I did that, after I started looking into it more, I was like, dang, these things are so expensive. They are cool. But then I also realized I really want to build my collection. Like really, really want to build my collection. So you can help me. No, this is my hat, dude. Dude, you don't take someone's Red Sox hat. You know that. Like, you should know that. Can I have first place? Do you have other things as collateral? Can I have your AirPods for as collateral, please? Like the ones in your ear. Thank you. All right, give it back. All right. I've been saving that one. All right. So, like I shared with you guys, I grew up in LA, and my parents' home had a bunch of like plum trees and peach trees and orange trees that were planted in the backyard by the person that they had bought the home from before. Just not like they had decided to plant the trees or anything like that. So by the time we were living there, the trees were pretty mature. They would produce a pretty decent fruit, actually. We'd try to prune them, water them when we could. When we got a good crop, like we'd actually have to share the fruit with our our friends or our neighbors because we just couldn't eat it fast enough, to be honest. Otherwise, like, all the squirrels would come and, you know, didn't want to eat everything. So, you know, it was nice to be able to enjoy this crop of a fruit that we would get, you know, in the summer. And so, you know, that was just something that, like, I kind of just grew up with at my home. It's just one of those things that just, like, I don't know, you don't plan on these things. It just happens, right? So, I'll get back to this in a little bit, but I just kind of wanted to share that with you to just kind of about just how I grew up a little bit. And so, we're going to be in John 15, if you look at your handbook. By the way, killer set, by the way. I love All I Have is Christ. We sang it out at my wedding, and it just, oh man, it's so good. It's so good. So, we're in John 15, and at this time, Jesus is attracting huge, huge crowds of people. He was this curiosity. He was all the rage, and people were, oh man, all right, people were buzzing about Jesus. Thanks. And so John 12 tells us that at this point in John 12, they're less than a week away from Passover, which means that Jesus is soon going to be nailed and onto a wooden cross. He will die. And yet, at this point, not only are the crowds growing in size, Jesus knows that people, many people in the crowds, they are calling themselves Jesus' followers. They're calling themselves Jesus' disciples. But he also knows that they haven't completely turned over their lives to Jesus. He knows that many of them will not follow him after he goes to the cross. And so, to be fair, even the 12 disciples had not completely turned over their lives over to Jesus at this time either. But at least, you know, they've been with him for like the last 3 years. But between John 12 up to where we are going to be today in John 15, Jesus keeps cranking up the heat because he knows so many people are actually falling into this category where they're claiming to be Jesus's followers, but internally, they are not true disciples of Jesus. So with some context of John 15, let's read John 15, 1-17. I'll read the passage for us, and then we'll pray together. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. All right, let's turn to God in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, into the Bible, this passage about grapes, vines, branches, and what it has to say to us, pray that you reveal the truth of your word, about the obedience that you require of us, and that the joy that can be found in our relationship with you. We pray that you give us insight in how to live our own lives, to recognize the ways in which we struggle with obedience. Show us how you desire for us to grow, to change, and to become transformed people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so John 15, this morning's passage, is the last of the famous I am passages or sayings in John's Gospels. The I am sayings are Jesus' way of referring back to the Old Testament, back to Exodus, where God's name is I am who I am. And Jesus is making the claim that he is indeed God by saying, I am these things, right? So he's talking about how he's the remix. He is building upon this legacy that all the Jewish people understand who God to be, who God is and who he is. So this morning in our passage, Jesus says that he is the true vine. And for God, for John's original readers, the vine and vineyard are common illustrations that would have been really commonly understood in their agrarian society. And as we look at our passage, we see that there are three roles that Jesus talks about. The first is the true vine, which is Jesus and all believers who truly follow Jesus. The second is the vine, which refers to the Israelites. And thirdly, there's the vine dresser or the gardener, as the NIV says, and perhaps and that person is God. So perhaps for many of us, when we think of a vineyard, we probably think of a lot of green vegetation, like the leaves and the green vines. Can we bring that slide real quick? You don't have to change it, it's right. But you can tell that, like, in a lot of us think that this is what a vineyard looks like. I'm not going to go like super in depth here, but you don't want actually, good wine doesn't require lots of leaves on the vine. You actually don't want that. Anyways, it's kind of a deep cut. But, you know, what you actually want is the vine searching out the sun more than anything else. And so I'm going to assume that most of us aren't familiar with working in a vineyard. Probably fair to say, okay? So can you go to the next slide for me real quick? There's actually a lot more wood than we perceive that's on the vine here. So there's a bunch of stuff, don't worry about. Don't try to get too caught up with it. So when Jesus talks about the true vine, he's referring to the trunk part. So this is the vertical part, and then the large horizontal portion, okay? So the trunk and the cordon, that horizontal branch. Now the spurs are the canes that grow up from the horizontal branch are what actually connect the grapes to the trunk or the main vine. So these canes here, the ones that you see on the right that stick up, the canes here, these are what Jesus actually refers to as branches in the passage. So what would happen is that old canes would sprout and they would not produce any grapes because they already produced grapes in the past and they're not going to produce grapes into any future harvest. So the gardener or the vine dresser would look to cut off any of these branches that grew but would not produce any fruit, because these branches are unproductive in making fruit, but they are taking the nutrients and they're taking the energy from the vine, and they're pulling it away instead of all of that energy and nutrients going to the branches that are actually helping to produce real fruit. So what Jesus witnessed himself in the growing crowds and the vineyards is the same reality that we see in ourselves and the same reality that he's trying to point out here with the vines and the branches. He's seeing that people are demonstrating external signs of faith, but those are not an accurate reflection of an internal reality. Many of us work so hard to put on an empty outer appearance of faith without actually being connected to God. So here in John 15, Jesus is trying to help us see that we're presented with the choice of the connection that we can actually have with Jesus. We can either be connected in name, but practically independent, or we can be genuinely connected to Jesus through obedience to Scripture and dependent on Christ to live a life with the evidences of a real and authentic faith. So John's trying to help us see and recognize that obedience is what you and I are most called to in our daily lives. So I think what John wants us to know is that obedience to God aligns our character to God's character, and that brings us joy. Obedience to God aligns our character to God's character, bringing us joy. So what do we need to do to be marked by this sort of joy in order to experience the joy and the love that God offers us? I think this morning's passage shows the lengths that God will go in order to have us properly connected to Christ so that we might obey him. And I believe our passage has 3 points that about how God pursues us into reconciliation and joy. The first is that Jesus calls us to stand firm. So what does it mean to stand firm? What are we standing firm for? And why is it so critical that we actually stand firm? A second, because Christ came to connect us, we must obey in order to produce godly fruit. So why is it important that we actually stay connected to God? What happens to us if we are actually authentically connected to God? And lastly, when we see what Jesus calls for Christians to be known by, God calls us to be known, God calls us to remain in joyful obedience. All right, you can switch the slide, by the way. All right, so the first point is to stand firm. Stand firm. What do I mean by stand firm? In the ESV, it says to abide. In other translations, it says to remain. It says it 4 times throughout verses 4 and 5. So what John is doing is he is trying to grab your attention by stacking these verses, the idea of abide or remain together. Because he's trying to say, this is so important for you to know that this remain idea, this abide idea is what you need to know. Standing firm and remaining in place are good ways to explain what abide means. So we don't normally use the word abide in your everyday conversation. Like your parents don't say like, abide in the car and don't leave, right? Like they don't say that to you, right? Sometimes it's helpful to kind of understand what we mean by abide here. If this helps you, perhaps one way to say it's the opposite of going away or fleeing from your spot. In my mind, I kind of envision it like World War I, trench warfare, and you know, where like you have battle lines that are very clearly drawn. And on the one hand, you're not giving anything away. You're not conceding ground to the opposition, and that's positive. But you're also, you know, you're not, right, you're not fleeing your position. You're remaining in place. And in the Old Testament, the idea of abiding meant that God's character was consistent and it remained unchanged. And in the New Testament, John uses this abiding idea to encourage us to remain in the righteous things that are associated with salvation, associated with eternal life with God. Jesus is saying that those who abide in Christ are genuinely connected to Jesus himself, connected and sourced to do what is righteous. For For John, the continuation of one in the Christian life is one form of evidence that an individual is truly and genuinely born again. So why is standing firm so important? Because we see that Jesus' purpose is to connect us to God. We need to be reconnected with God because we're broken people. And maybe on the outside, you and I can keep the veneer. You guys know what a veneer is, right? Like, anyone have IKEA furniture at home? No? Nobody has a... Oh, I was like, okay. I was like, there's no way no one's got IKEA furniture, like some piece of IKEA furniture. Okay, right? So like IKEA furniture is like super affordable because they take like excess wood chips and then they collect it and then they like press it and like mix it with glue and then they form it into shape.